This is a great way to catch up on what you missed from Kennedy Malloy. But you don't want to miss Milwaukee Redemption Day, April 11 only. T's and C's apply. See milwaukeetools.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy, the first post-maths edition of Kennedy Malloy. Can you cope, Australia?
Offices around households, out in the workforce.
Emergency number people can call.
People are very sad today.
How's Mike today?
I've
no idea who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. He'd be good.
I've just heard that name around the office a fair bit.
I'm one of few women supporting Mike.
Whoa! Yes. We'll get to that right off the bat. Hey, nanny state coming down the pike.
Lots to talk about. Plenty of updates. This is going to blow your mind.
Makes me angry, this segment.
Makes me angry, too. You know what I like? It's a good segment called Bad Parenting.
Well, you'll be featuring heavily.
Lately, possibly. Done a few things.
Is losing a bun? Is that bad parenting?
Yes. Not finding it for a week is also bad.
Well, it's a happy ending, though.
We've got the unbelievable lease sales. I just thought I'd describe her as unbelievable.
Where's lease sales been? I can't believe it's been a while. She's been busy. Too long since we've had a bit on. She's got the budget. There's an impending election.
She has a show every night.
She has other stuff she's got
to
do.
She does do other stuff. She had a book out, too.
Can't wait to drill her hard down on the facts. You had one job.
Oh, yeah.
You had one job. I like it when we do this.
Me too.
Is there anything that's inspiring us today?
Nearly every day I feel like shouting that out.
I think there's an incident at WrestleMania that may have inspired this particular one. Trending now, Jane Kennedy. This is where we bundle up a few stories that is hot. Clickbait.
Mm. It's going berserk. A lot of stuff going on around this country.
We'll get onto that. And so much more. We'll take your calls, your tweets. Right. Hope you're well.
We're ready to go.
I'm a bit tired today.
Why is that?
I was up all night watching Dominion.
Hang on.
No.
Dominion.
This is the vegan doco. I mean, look, when a group of angry, pasty people chain themselves to cars, disrupting my way to work, I listen.
Right.
I go.
It's a very good way to make people listen.
It's a great way to get people's attention. And so I went, I'll go home and.
I'm really considerate.
Dominion. Yeah, it's a great.
Is it uplifting?
Look, it's not a date film. I just got on the couch, snuggled up, thought, here we go.
Really?
Yeah, no. I thought it was going to be like Must Love Dogs or something.
Yeah, not cuddly.
Not the Notebook.
I'm trying to imagine what format it comes in. What's it like?
It's all a bit gruesome.
You got any of
it? But you know what I mean? Well done, guys. That's a way to get our attention because vegans, if you want to force your way of life onto other people, just go and disrupt their way of life. I can't even work out what their demands were until they actually specified what their demands were.
Okay.
Yep.
We've told them to contact the police as we're not leaving until our demands are met. We're here to stop the slaughter of innocent animals and to enforce them to bring about transparency across the industry now.
So they're not leaving until we stop the slaughter of innocent animals. That could take a while.
Well, that could take a while. It's also been going on a little while in history, so they might have to go back to...
Anyway, you've got our attention, vegans.
Yeah.
You angry, pasty mob. Hey.
And on school holidays, too. They're closing up the aquarium.
The aquarium.
Yeah. Had plenty of my friends calling me saying, hey, I respect people's rights to protest, but don't stop parents on school holidays taking their kids to an aquarium.
Tell us what you want. They went to an abattoir. And the guy goes, okay, a farmer. He goes, what do you want? They go, we want three lambs.
How are they going to look after them?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Oh, well.
So there you go.
I'll tell you who looks very rested today.
Who?
Dangerous Dave. How are you guys? I bounced into work today. Very smiling.
First night in the Tempur mattress, and boy, oh boy, what a delight it was too last night.
We don't need to hear how delighted it was.
Did it see any action? Is this just a get to know you period?
Here's the thing I figured out with a king size bed, you can do the starfish. And not touch your significant other.
Wow.
I can starfish
out. What makes you happy, does it?
Well, it just kind of, you can move around without having to nudge or get an elbow
to the head.
What
time to go to bed?
About 9 o'clock.
You couldn't wait to go to bed, could you?
We were like, can we go to bed now?
Isn't that good, Dave?
Have you got a button on either side?
Yes, both got a remote control. So if you want to go up or down, what your legs
can you do like a Tony Gregg pitch report? Can you just get out there with a key and go, oh, this is looking good.
It's even got like a battery pack underneath.
Oh, hang on, we don't need to know all the details. Steady, kids might be in the car.
No, it's all very G-rated. So if the bed goes up, right, and the power goes out, you go, oh, man, we're stuck in this position forever. No, it's got the batteries underneath. The
emergency battery. It's got like a generator.
Yes. So then you can put it back down again in case the power goes off. They're thinking of everything, this mob. So I'm just so thrilled. Love it.
Well, we're very thrilled.
Clean sheets, new bed.
What's the voltage?
Well, it's a couple of 9 volts underneath. So,
couple of 9 volts?
Yeah.
That ought to do the trick.
That does the job. So thank you, Tampa. Thank you, Kennedy Malloy.
Get me through the first hour and a half.
That's excellent. I'll tell you what, they will only need...
Well done, Dave.
They need one Tampa bed only or two maybe tops after the fallout of Married at First Sight.
Oh, okay. Are we going to do that next in trending
now? Yeah, I think we better touch on it.
All right, we're here thanks to Milwaukee, by the way.
Good work, vegans.
And the Milwaukee Redemption Day is happening April 11, so that's Thursday. MilwaukeeTools.com.au for all the information on their Redemption Day.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, guys!
Have you seen this?
Baby, it'll blow your mind.
Jeez, you're trending like crazy.
We're going to blow up the internet.
Kennedy Malloy's
trending now.
1.9 million people... and that's not even the peak, but everybody was watching last night. Married at First Sight, the last episode.
Oh, it's sad. It is. And how was it?
For a lot
Can you tell
people?
Me how it was?
Well, it's quite a shock.
Judging by the buzz around the office, people got
The buzz was that for the first time all the contestants were grabbed together and actually watched footage that they'd never seen before in their lives. Mm. What we've been watching, they didn't know what was going on behind the scenes.
How'd they go down?
Yeah, not good. with a lot of them. The couple that is, they had a affair and they're going to end up together, they had a bit of a Barney later on.
Oh.
Ben Fordham had a chat to them. Let's have a listen to Dan and Jess have a little bit of an argument.
Yeah. You know, it's obviously what Dan wants to hear.
It's not what I want to hear.
It is what you want to hear.
You just said that you hit on him.
Fight on national television.
You just said that you just hit on him. And before you even said that last part, like, it just raises the conversation. It's like, I've got major trust issues with this and... Anyway.
I've never heard the term major trust issues is used and bandied about so much. Young men saying their feelings
but
so much.
I mean, if you've been on a TV program for a course of 8 weeks, surely you have built up a degree of trust, haven't you?
Correct. I mean...
What's going on with people today?
All right,
with the values? There's no values anymore.
One of the blokes was so appalled at what was potentially going to be the show that was that aired last night. Sam, he didn't even turn up.
He dodged a bullet.
Is
that good or is it bad?
No,
should he have fronted?
He probably should have fronted, but he did make rude claims about Elizabeth.
Mm.
He said when he married her and she came down the aisle that she wasn't exactly the type he'd go for. She was more your larger lass.
Mm.
Okay.
And he wouldn't normally have done that. And she didn't react very well when she found out.
Oh, no. So listen.
You judge me by my appearance. That I'm a larger girl, I'm a heavy girl, okay? So what is he setting the tone for all women out there? You're not worthy enough if you're not, a size 6 or below. You're not worthy enough. I am just appalled that he would just make it so free to comment on a woman's weight. That to me is absolutely despicable and disgusting.
Oh. Just your weight, fatso. No, I can say that. I don't know. I've never seen it.
You don't even know what she looks like, so you're just gagging, aren't you?
But is she
larger?
You're making
a joke. No, she was. She's.
Well, why would he say that?
He said it because he's insensitive.
What's his name?
His name was Sam.
Oh, good on you, Sam. I hope you're happy with yourself.
Yeah, that was very rude, Sam. And Lizzie didn't like it. No. Anyway, she ended up... So one of the guys that I've been watching the whole series, and I'm going out a bit on Pat Malone here... Mike has been...
Mike, I've heard that name a lot today.
Mike, he was paired with Heidi. They got married.
Is he a villain or is he a good guy?
Well, I thought he was a good guy, but he has been painted as a villain by a lot of women.
Down,
Yeah. A lot of women don't like him. They thought... He just said it like it is. I thought he was really lovely.
Is he your type?
Possibly.
He's a straight shooter, is he?
He's a straight, yeah, oh, but he's sweet.
Well, I get him in. See, he had
beautiful parents. His dad was so divine and lovely.
Oh, my
Heidi's
God.
Heidi's just a Listen spoiled to this. Brat.
You're up. Across the line.
I'm not, well, he said this. It didn't go very down very well with the women last night, all the women of Australia. Have a listen to how he summed up this experiment.
I think groups of women under pressure don't cope as well as groups of men under pressure. There's differences between men and women. Don't mistake that. I mean, a matriarchy and a patriarchy are two different things entirely. And this is there's different dynamics at play. That we're seeing these girls have fallen apart and the men haven't. Any group of women that are put in this same situation, maybe this is just doesn't speak to their, you know, their biology.
Oh, dude.
But I think I agree with him because on this show, the women were hysterical.
You know you said that out loud,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
That's
gonna
okay.
They're going to come for you, Mike.
No,
there.
I'm supporting you, Mike Gunner.
Really?
Because, yeah, I didn't think you were a chauvinist. I thought you were pretty cool. I thought you gave Heidi plenty and she just, in fact, didn't want to be married in the end. I think she went on the show for different reasons. Oh, sorry. Oh, that's right. She's hosting a radio show now. Anyway, I support Mike and he's going to have a podcast out.
Well, is Mike a good guy?
Yeah, and his podcast is going to be called I'm Not Your Therapist. And it's in reference to a line he said to Heidi at one stage to shut her up because she was banging on too long.
Wow.
Okay, now any of you are going to have withdrawal symptoms?
Oh, there's trouble, bro.
Because there's no Married at First Sight on. Never fear.
What?
Go on Nine.
What have you got?
The podcast, the Nine website.
Yeah.
I found something else for you.
Yes.
Have a listen to this.
More New Zealanders are single than ever before, and they're looking for love.
I'm surrounded by so many friends who are couples or married.
You get sick of the small talk and you get sick of going out on dates.
Married at First Sight.
Not even my wife.
Not even my husband. Crazy.
Feels a bit different, eh?
Married at First Sight. New Zealand.
Wow.
Oh, yes, everyone. I found two series of this for you.
Where can you watch that?
You can go on Channel 9 website and be my guest. And thank me later if you just want to have a watch of
that's
that.
That's 9now.com.
9now.com, Married at First Sight.
Jeez.
New Zealand.
Jesus.
And they have gay Freudians. Couple. Freudians. They have the first gay couple.
What just happened?
There you go. It's back. It's all good.
I don't think she realised what she just said then.
Why? What did I say?
Well, Jane.
We'll go back to the tape on that.
Oh, what have I done?
Hey, we'll be back with more.
What I do?
If you want to contact Kennedy Malloy.
Did I swear?
Oh, no, you didn't Jane. Swear. Hey, we'll have more. What's this segment called?
Trending Now.
Trending Now.
Right after this.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey!
Have you seen this?
Baby, it'll blow your mind.
Jeez, you're trending like crazy.
You're going to blow up the internet.
Kennedy Malloy's
trending now.
Mm.
Yes. What is trending now, Dave?
Well, it's things that are happening now, aren't they?
I think I'll tell you what's trending right now is you trying to read out the address for...
Well, I was saying off the top of my head... And I might have...
It was for the New Zealand, the address for the New Zealand. Oh, well, have a listen. Here's what Jane said in the last break.
Thank me later if you just want to have a watch of
that's
that.
That's 9now.com.
9now.com, Married at First Sight.
Seriously.
New Zealand,
Jesus.
And they have gay couples. They have the first gay couple.
What just
in
happened?
There you go. It's back. It's all good.
I don't think she realised what she just said then.
Why? What did I say?
Well, Jane.
We'll go back to the tape on that.
Oh, what have I done?
Well, hey, don't go to 9.com.
No, don't go there.
Well, it would be a good...
Very rude
it would be
shock.
A good site.
Scott Nixon just tweeted, Jane, on-air stuff up, Hall of Fame right there. So you're getting lots of support out there. .com says KR.
Jeez. Nine now.com.
Jane, please.
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
Nothing is wrong with me. What's wrong with all of you?
I'm a bit tired. I've been up all night watching Dominion.
Oh, that's right.
No, because when the... When they say,
have we heard any of Dominion?
When they say,
we've got something.
Do you hear a bit? I've got the trailer.
I'm so looking
Dominion.
Forward to seeing
it's
it.
Not, it's a bit of a chick flick.
Okay.
Oh, is it? A bit of a rom-com.
All right, well, here's the trailer.
Livestock, faceless units of production in a system of incomprehensible scale, exempt from the cruelty laws that protect our companion animals. Their suffering, unseen and unheard, their value determined only by their usefulness to humankind. rationalized by a belief in our own superiority.
It's really uplifting. It's a real crowd pleaser.
Well, as you said, a great date flick.
It's like a Grease, the musical. It's real toe tapper. You can't help it.
I'm not going to get into the ethical everything to do with animals. You know, I'm an animal lover.
Love animals. You know, and I know you're ethical when it comes to even the meats you choose to eat and do. We all are. We all care.
And we do. We take it on board. But it stops to break down cities and people who are working and just to
Good initiatives. Yeah, there's good initiatives like No Meat Mondays and things where people
get to choose,
and you promote them, and the ethical eating of and production of meat. It's so incredibly important, but.
And it's live export. We go, that's rank. That's just got to be stopped.
Shut down the city because you want everyone to watch a movie. Gosh. I mean, look, I love Cannonball Run. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not about to go and park eight hire cars out the front of Flinders Street Station and stop traffic till everyone goes home and watches Cannonball Run with Burt Reynolds.
Fair enough.
It doesn't feel right sometimes. Right. Hey, can I mention I feel like something I'm quite happy about. Here's more, just, you know, this is my favourite song. Yeah. I love Cowan. Give it a break.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse. Hey,
it's the Old Town Road by Lil Nas.
Yeah.
Listen up. It's a perfect blend of country and hip hop.
Yeah.
Cool. Here he goes.
Time for the drop.
I got the horses in the bag. Horse stock is attached.
I call it Hip Hop Along Cassidy is the genre.
I like that.
Now, I love this, and guess what? It's gone to number one on the Billboard charts.
Oh, no kidding.
Fantastic. Oh, well, that's thanks to you,
It was streamed, and the fact it was streamed 46 million times.
Jeepers.
During the week. And more controversially, it's been reinstated back on the country charts.
Wow. Fair enough, too.
Well, that's good.
Fair enough.
It was taken off the country charts because it wasn't country enough. And by country enough, I think they meant it was a black guy singing it.
Because it's not that, but we were thinking of
that was pretty much excluded.
Charlie Pride's the only other black
Charlie
country
Pride,
singer I remember.
Of course. I believe, and I'm not sure, but the white knight in this instance is Billy Ray Cyrus, who lobbied
to get that song
back on. You're a bit stingy with a song there.
Hey,
you'd have this on in the boudoir.
Oh, not bad.
When you've got the temper on the temper bed, Dave.
I think there's
some action.
Little tilt on the temper, just a little bit of the head going up.
Yeah, right. I think there's a bit of movement in this. A
couple of radio clowns come out.
Well, I tell you what, I'd rather see Lil Nas perform at Eurovision ahead of Madonna.
That'd be a great Eurovision song.
Madonna's about to perform.
Is she?
Yeah.
Madge.
The Eurovision Song Contest is in Israel this year.
She's not going to wear a leotard, please.
She's in great nick. She can wear a leotard.
She says it looks like a Steagles chicken. When she's in it, Jane.
Not really?
When she's in her leotard.
She might have a little bit of osteoporosis. But
she's got the metallic. She wears a metallic bra,
she
but
it still doesn't work.
She wears a metallic bra, but it just hangs a lot lower than these days. Kind of.
Oh, well, look. She's.
Put some clothes on,
listen
Madonna.
Listen to this. She's taking a 160 person entourage.
Oh, that's rubbish.
160 people.
Come on.
60.
I'm trying to work out,
what
besides her dancers, what else everybody is doing. Apparently, it's going to cost $1.4 million. There's a billionaire businessman, Sylvan Adams, who has settled in Tel Aviv. He's footing the bill to get Madonna to be there. Because often now at Eurovision, they have like a big name singer or something to.
Yeah, yeah. Like a headliner.
Yeah, like a headliner. Jeez. To sort of. Justin Timberlake did it one year, didn't remember?
Mm.
Yeah, he was really good. I like Justin Timberlake.
160 people?
That's nuts.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
Well, half of those will be what? Kenyan kitties? That she's kind of adopted along the way.
She has quite a few. But I think they're grown up now, so, you know.
Who else is
They might
going?
Need nannies. Who knows?
Yeah. And hopefully it's wardrobe.
There is a bit of controversy, though. There's controversy.
Take something to put on.
Well, she's going. There is a lot of.
Take a big gown.
I don't think she's wearing a gown.
Put on some tracky dacks. Just cover up.
She's quite the prolific Twitterer. Did you know that?
Is that either of those things a word?
ninenow.com. All right.
What is wrong with you?
And we better go.
Oh, we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to break.
Hey, what are we going to do? We're going to talk nanny state. Is it time to talk nanny state?
Why not?
Yes.
Because I've got some absolute corkers.
Some doozies.
That this country, seriously, Oh, I've got to be careful I say that.
I get nervous every time you start winding up.
Over to you, Dave.
Then Lee Sales to join us. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Rules.
This is the world we live in.
We got some rules around here.
Are they joking?
You believe that you are special, but somehow the rules do not apply to you.
This is anarchy.
We should write letters.
Has the world gone mad?
Now what kind of a society is it that would allow such a thing?
Kennedy Malloy.
The rules have just changed.
Living in a nanny state.
You're always making things difficult.
You got that right. There's no segment that makes my blood boil more, I think, than nanny state because I hate rules. I hate authority. I understand the need in some instances so we can live in a civilized society, but some of this stuff is beyond the pale.
Yep.
And I've said it before. I'll say it again. This is the most overgoverned country in the world.
Yep.
It's the high vis nation.
Oh.
And
we don't need it. It's not necessarily. We're a happy group of people here in Australia.
Law of the jungle. If you're a dickhead, you're a dickhead. Yeah. You deserve to.
You'll get sorted out.
But we can't keep making rules to protect idiots. Often repeat offenders are the public school system, I have to say, who are making up unnecessary rules. let's go to Mosman Public School, New South Wales. Parents say they now have to covertly collect email addresses of their children's friends' parents to invite them to parties and instruct their children not to discuss any planned festivities. This is because they've banned party invites being handed out at school because some kids who don't get invited may feel a little left out. So that's the answer. We just pretend the kid's not a loser.
Look, this is...
Nanny state.
I've got mixed feelings about this because here's the stupid thing. I don't you understand. You've got to have 30 kids to a party, which is a lot, and parties are expensive to have. Or you have a very small gathering of 5 or 6 kids. That's what people do. Some people do in the middle, and it means some get left out, and they do get upset. But now people are saying, well, when do these kids learn resilience in life? Because if you're not a friend of the kid, then why should you be invited to the party? It doesn't matter. You don't have to be friends with everyone, all right?
And then you can have a party and you can invite who you want.
That's right.
And you can invite them if you want or not.
Again, it's all about the parent. This is all about the grown-ups, not how the children have to behave. There's more, though, isn't there?
I'm more for the just, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Some stage you got to learn about loss. You got it's never too early to learn. I don't care. These kids, you got to learn. Mate, you're a little loser.
Do you honestly think sometimes only boys have the boys, or only girls have the girls? Sometimes, and then they have one or two boys at the party.
Kids aren't idiots, by the way. They've got to learn it pretty quickly that everyone went to a party on the weekend and you weren't invited.
And also,
so it's not like you're going to pretend it's not going to happen.
But parents always just ask your kid. Ask your kid who they want to have to the party.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been there, done that. It works out all right. You don't have to have covert operations going on with
Seven
teachers.
Hills West Public School
yep.
has told parents birthday cakes have to be small and individual in nature because teachers were unable to cut up cakes.
Nanny state.
What?
Candles for birthday cakes have also been banned. I don't know why. Why?
Yes, because children might blow them out and put germs on the cake.
I know that, but why can't the teacher cut up a cake?
Because it's a knife, Mick.
Oh.
I'm sure she operates scissors at some stage
in the class, doesn't she? Knife might be dangerous.
How?
Because she might slip and stab a child.
Oh, that'd be great. We used to get that as a punishment.
The child deserves
it. Malloy, come here. Stab.
What's going on?
That was routinely.
A teacher is not going to cut a child's finger off when they're cutting a cake.
Mm.
Grow up, everyone. Stop it. There's more.
Mm. What else?
Bardia Public School. This is in southwest of Sydney. Not only banned teachers from cakes, Bangor Public School last year said children weren't allowed to sit on their parents' laps during a dance concert due to health and safety regulations.
Nanny state.
What's that mean? I don't get
it. The child might slip off the parents' lap and hit their head. Dapto Public School. Wait for this one, everyone. You won't believe this.
What is this one?
Teachers have been told to avoid scented perfumes and toiletries that may attract insects and bees.
Nanny state.
in case of risk of allergic reaction to insect bites.
Oh, my God. And teachers probably shouldn't wear a mosquito coil on their head either. Just because of the zapping sound. It might attract bees.
Yes. No, it won't. How many people wear perfume every day? How many bees do you see walking with me when I arrive?
None.
God. Hey, let's go to Wayne. He's got something going on.
Wayne, what do you got?
Wayne, what's going on nanny state-wise with you?
Yeah, I can't believe it. First of all, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good on you, Wayne.
I took my staff out for a 10-pin bowling on Friday night for a work celebration.
Yeah.
And one of the guys slipped on the bowling lane when he was bowling.
Yes.
And he snapped a tendon in his little finger.
Yeah.
And he's now potentially off for 6 weeks and have surgery. And he's put in a work cover claim.
Nanny State.
I can't believe it.
That is insane. I'm so sorry.
Well, I hope you're happy, Wayne. You nearly killed a co-worker. You've taken him 10-pin bowling. You should have known the risks.
I won't be happening again, I can tell you that.
Give
Wayne a prize.
Yeah, prize pack coming your way, Wayne.
Hey, look, we've got a few calls coming up. Yeah, stick around and give us more. 133353. Got any nanny state nutness?
Are you wearing perfume, Jane? Because I can see flies buzzing around your head.
Not flies, bees. Bees sounds nicer.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Big hello to everyone at the Welcome Hotel in Balmain, Sydney. they're the victim of nanny state.
This is terrible. We do want to give a shout out.
This local pub has been ordered to stop using its courtyard barbecue because a neighbour didn't like the smell.
Oh.
Of barbecue?
It's an Australian smell. It's the smell of Australia.
That's the perfume I'd have. Eau de barbecue.
Oh,
Oda sausage.
Jeez,
yum. Yeah, I'm going to cook a barbecue tonight in protest.
Oh, my God. Anyway, there it is. Hey, we've got people who are ringing up.
Oh, yeah,
there's get
plenty
involved.
On.
Let's see what Claire's got to say. Claire.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. What is it you'd like to add?
I was just adding on to your comment about cutting up the cake at school.
So it's been banned. The teachers have been banned from using a knife to cut up a cake during school because it's dangerous or something, yeah?
Yes. Well, that was part of it. But when I read the rest of it today, it was actually also the concern was that the teacher wouldn't be able to cut the pieces into even sizes, one size might get a bigger piece than another.
Well, if they're a maths teacher, they have to get fractions right, don't they?
Yeah. So the big concern was around round cakes because they were really difficult to get the wings.
God's sakes. Do you know what, Claire, they're also saying? They said, stuff the cakes. Please bring cupcakes in.
Yes.
Well, you've either got to bake them to buy cupcakes. How expensive is that for a whole class?
No, they wouldn't have liked me when my kids were at school because we had a Wallabies jersey one time, we had a football another time, so I don't know how they made that into... they'll get there eventually.
Kids' parties are ground zero for this. I told you my favourite is the one where a woman rang up and wouldn't allow her kid to go to the party if the balloons were blown up by humans. Because in case one burst, the germs would go over the room.
So how are we alive today?
We have to be, if it's Mr. Gaspo, I'll allow my child to go.
Stop. Hey, let's go to Sarah. Hi, Sarah. How are you going?
How are you?
Yeah, good. What happened? What's the nanny state situation you've found yourself in?
Well, I am actually a teacher.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, I could actually entertain your story for hours, but I'll just give you this one.
Yep.
I was rung by a parent and abused because their daughter had come home and her school uniform was dirty because I'd let her play in the sandpit.
Right.
And that if they couldn't get the stains out, they were going to send me the dry cleaning
bill. Okay. But how do you deal with that? I mean, that's just scurrilous.
So what are you supposed to do? Say she can't use it, all the other kids can play in the sandpit, but you can't.
Why is it your fault?
Yeah, well, that's right. My professionalism was called into question as to why I was...
Well, Sarah, that's terrible.
Sarah, you sound like you cop a bit of this from time to time, yeah?
You sound a bit world-weary.
Yeah. There's many a jaded teacher like me around.
Oh, well, good, Sarah, on you for being... We love teachers like you, Sarah.
Thanks for calling in, Sarah, if that's your real name.
Hello, Jordan. This is another school scenario that's gone crazy.
G'day, guys. Yeah, funny enough, when I was in high school my senior year,
I was one of the older students that got a license pretty quickly under my red P's. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'll just drive to school. Saves my parents getting up and, you know, stressing them out the whole time. The school said I wasn't legally deemed to drive the vehicle because I was in a uniform.
Nanny state.
You weren't allowed to drive your car in your uniform.
Should make no difference at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, because me wearing a piece of clothing is what got my license wrong.
I used to go through the drive-thru on my way home from work in my school uniform. I was 18.
I was in my school uniform for half the year and used to drive about eight girls around in Mum's Cortina.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, we caused some havoc. I was very sensible, mind you. Thanks, Jordan. David.
Yes.
Yeah, what happened to your son when he wasn't allowed onto the plane carrying something?
No, my dad was flying down for his birthday, and he had a Nerf gun as a present. And he got on the plane, went to get on the plane, and they said that you weren't allowed to have the Nerf gun on the plane. You had to go back out and check it into the cargo underneath the plane.
Oh, my God. Look, it's clearly a plastic.
Yeah,
it's a Nerf gun.
We know what a Nerf gun is, everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
We know what one is.
Dave, I like it, David.
Thanks, David. Well, let's go to Peter.
G'day.
Yeah, hi. Peter, you're a high school teacher, are you?
Yeah, secondary college teacher, and just brought to my attention only just this week, as we're on school holidays now, that my year 11s and 12s are no longer to bring noodles to school because they're not allowed to use boiling water.
What the hell? Now, but that is the only diet that year 11 and 12 students live on.
Noodles.
Fully across that, and it's just when it's recess, it's cold. It's a cold in Victoria.
Oh. We had another one of these stories during the
week,
which
terrible.
Was there's no coffees or no teas, there's no hot beverages. Yeah.
Well, in a schoolyard.
Thing to it, they're still allowed coffees and they're still allowed their hot chocolate, just not the noodles.
No, noodles. That's racist.
I'm nearly going to give it up, mate.
Those pesky noodles.
Hang in there, Peter.
Let's give a prize to Peter to make him hang in there as a high school teacher. We need you guys.
We're going to give you a KO Sports subscription there, Peter. So that means you've got a six-month KO Sports subscription.
That's a ripper.
50 sports instantly streamed, which is scary good. You're going to love that.
We'll need your real name, so.
Thank you, guys. I didn't ring up for that. I just rang up.
We know.
Good
on you, Peter.
Good on you.
Hey, let's go to Richie.
How are you, girls and boys?
Yeah, good. Mate, Richie, how's the world gone mad?
Oh, mate, many years ago I built a house in Queensland with a friend. And as an owner-builder, he had to take out insurance to cover somebody who was going to break into his property and steal stuff if they got injured.
So you had to have insurance in case a robber hurt themselves in
exactly right, and it was compulsory.
Wow.
You've got to feel for those robbers, don't you?
It'll be on your conscience all your life, Richie, if someone broke into your house and hurt themselves.
I was shaking my head for a week, mate. Shaking my head for a week.
Gary's on the line. Gary, what is it you want to say, mate?
G'day, Mick. How are you, Jane?
Good.
The last job I worked at, they wanted us to do a course on using a Stanley knife.
Nanny state.
What did they actually want to teach you?
I don't know because I refused. I said,
good on you.
Mate,
too stupid to use a Stanley knife. I don't deserve a job.
When you cut your own hand off with a Stanley knife, we'll see who's laughing.
Gary,
you
can't make that up, can you?
Well,
good on you. Thanks for that.
Karen, what happened to you? What's a stupid...
Oh, yeah. Hi guys, I'm an art teacher.
Yeah.
And there's another school that I know of where the art teachers aren't even allowed to give the kids scissors. They're not allowed. They lock them up.
Nanny state.
Well, they lock up their scissors, or they have to supervise them directly while they're using the scissors.
In case they, you know.
Karen, do you think this has been sparked by an incident?
Sorry?
Do you think it's been sparked by anything? Or people just think that children are idiots?
Was Edward Scissorhands a student there at some stage?
Wolverine.
Well, our son did cut his thumb off one time with him, but that's beside the point.
You got to learn.
I think your son needs to have a few more lessons in life.
But your son's the problem, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
All right, Jimmy, are you there?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good. What happened to you, mate?
We're throwing Mrs. and I were throwing a big party a few years ago, and your wife went to the supermarket to buy a big load of knives and forks, plastic knives and forks. And she had to show her ID.
What the hell?
Knives.
But for buying plastic knives?
That's ridiculous.
Country's gone berserk. You're getting a taste of what's happening out there. Hey, we're going to news, but when we come back, Lee Sales.
Excellent.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
And this one is going to go off. Oh, you have it on good authority. You had one job. We're going to do that a little later, Jane Kennedy.
You did. Well, not you didn't have one job.
I'm way more complicated.
I had one job, to lock the bathroom door.
And you didn't do it, and you've caused a furore. The internet has nearly melted down.
I was caught on the toilet by a security guard in our building, and it was really one of the most embarrassing, well, the most embarrassing thing that's really probably ever happened to me.
I'm sure our next guest will be covering it on 7:30 tonight. She covers all the big ones.
Yes,
our next
guest.
We love Lee Sales because she's honest about her heroes.
Female journos are always said that they've been inspired by a yarn event, but I mean, I've built my whole career on Brooke Vandenberg.
She's candid about her interview subjects.
We had one well-known Australian actor. He didn't like where the sound guy was sitting. He said, no, mate, you're in my eye line. We were
that's a very bad Russell Crowe, by the way.
And she's not afraid to fangirl like the rest of us.
I've looked at the photo of me with Paul McCartney and I think, I swear to God, I did not look that happy on my own wedding.
Please welcome back to the show, Lee Sales.
Hello, Lee. How are you?
I'm very good now that I discover I've got my own promo on your show.
Oh, yes. Wow. You're big wig in this country, lady.
Well, big wig.
Better than my ABC promo.
I think it might be, actually.
I don't know how you fit it all in, Lee. Your podcast, Chat 10, Looks 3 is out. Your book, Any Ordinary Day is out. There's a little gig called 7:30 that you have to do, pop in a bit of filler there every night. How are you doing
it
all?
And in between it all, mum of two as well.
That's
and
it.
The brain surgery I do at the children's hospital, the orphanage I run as well.
Yeah, have you got your Order of Australia yet, Elite, as well?
I'm waiting.
All right.
Hey, I've got to ask you, we'll start with down the serious end of the pool. When will he announce the date for the election? Can you give us a hint?
Look, frankly, absolutely no idea, and that's why you guys pay me the big bucks to come on. But I would suspect, if I had to put money on it, I would say he would wait as long as possible. The last date that we can have the election is May the 25th, which I think means the last day you can call it is Easter Monday.
And he's doing this purely for advertising, so he can...
Oh, and to get out more policy sort of drumming up.
Yeah.
Or wait for a boat to turn up. Is he waiting for a boat?
Or a surplus? Well,
I guess there's two reasons to do it. One is because if you're coming from behind, as they have been in the opinion polls for a long time, you give yourself maximum opportunity to try to turn it around. And the other one is if you're in government and you're going to lose, you just want to be Prime Minister and in government for as long as possible, I would have thought.
You want to hold on to that office for as long as you can, literally to your corner office.
I would have thought so.
He's putting all the cutlery into his boxes and he's raiding the joint. Did the budget help them at all? Did the budget, was it anything? Did Frydenberg deliver? Has it given him even a whiff of a hope?
Well, Josh Frydenberg has given it a red-hot go. The polls that have come out since the budget have been mixed, but basically, really, they're still in pretty much the same position that they have been really since the last election. Yeah. Since the last election, they have been in a losing position, and it continues to be about the same.
Where were you on budget day? Were you in this famed lock-up? Can you talk us through what was going on?
And how many people? Is it a lot of people or what?
Is it keys in a bowl? What's happening back there behind closed those doors, Lee Sales?
Mick Molloy, what happens in budget lockup stays in budget lockup.
He's itching to get in there, Lee.
I'm fascinated.
The stories would make your hair curl.
Yeah.
No, it's actually, look, there's certain rules. Like I always think, for example, go to the toilet early because you don't want to be in there at 7 p.m. after everyone's, this is one for you, Jane, after everyone else has been in the lockup for like 8 hours
or
whatever.
Thank you for that tip if I ever get in there.
If you ever get in there.
Good thinking.
Also, when... at a certain point, some hot food comes around and the journos are like vultures onto the sausage rolls.
Oh, my
God,
you've
got to
free
get
food.
Your elbows out.
So it's catered. Do you have like a rider? Can you put in a request for what you want?
I always take my own food in because I don't trust.
Do you really?
Because I've got to go and do an hour of live TV and interview the treasurer. Oh. I don't want to risk food poisoning.
Scott Pape told us, we spoke with him after the budget and our financial guru, of course, and he said they stepped it up this year. They sort of went a bit of sushi. Did you see any of that happening? And sushi can be a little of a worry.
Oh, there's no way I would touch any form. In fact, my producer Callum was like, do not go near any chicken, any salmon. Like, just you stay over here and eat your banana.
Good
and,
tips.
And Terry McCran, all hands. Is that
am I here? Mick, what? Careful.
I'm having a laugh, of course.
I know. Good old Terry is a laugh a minute, isn't he? Especially in budget mode.
Where's the trouble coming from in the lockup? Where's the trouble coming? Who do you have to keep an eye on?
Annabelle Crabb.
Annabelle Crabb.
Yeah,
how do you calm her down?
Capsicum spray her a couple of hours.
You do. Yeah, obviously do. No, look, it's actually, seriously, it's very... it's very hard work because you get this stack of gigantic documents and you've got to go through them and try to find where the stories are. And
can't you palm that off to someone else to read and give you the tips?
I wish. I'm always sort of looking at numbers and going, oh, God, is this billions or trillions? I'm not sure, God.
You're right, though. Out of everyone there, you're probably the first cab off the rank because coming out of that, you're going to go on live TV. You need to have your wits about you.
There's a lot of it's actually the hardest day of the year for me, except for this year when Election Day is the hardest day of the year for me.
There you go. Now, superannuation would have come up in the budget, but you're looking at it this week on 7:30. When we come back, I just want to touch on that because it's something that often people our age don't talk about, but we need to, don't we?
We do.
Well, you're in the zone.
I'm talking about older Australians.
All right. Lee Sales is our special guest from 7:30 and joins us again right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Lee Sales is joining us right now, of course, from ABC 7:30, Monday to Thursdays on ABC.
When you talk about superannuation, it's something that often people tune out of. Is that right, Lee? Because I know
I'm
used to.
I'm a bit scared for you guys to look at your minutes by minutes tomorrow, but apparently that is the case.
You know, I'll tell you what has struck me.
It's just sexy. I like super talk.
But
gets me fired up.
As a concept, I think Paul Keating was very big, the plan of superannuation for every Australian. And what is emerging is that there's a lot of women who have not been put onto superannuation and keeping it up. Is that what you've discovered in this series?
Yeah, and because basically what happens with your super is it compounds, which means that, every little bit you put in over a long period of time, that can turn into a large amount. But lots of women take time out of their careers.
Yes.
And so the effect of that by the end of your career can be tens of thousands of dollars out of your super. The tricky thing with super is most of us, and I mean I don't, understand it very well.
That's true.
It feels like when you get your pay packet... because sort of like your tax, that super money, it's never come into your hands. You haven't actually had it and then plonked it somewhere else. It's deducted, before it gets anywhere near you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel like it's your money.
It lives in a virtual world that somehow you remember about 15 years ago when you worked as a waitress that there was some super going in somewhere and people have to keep catching up on it.
But are people aware of that? Are you saying there's a whole heap of super out there
that people are unaware of?
Tons, yep. So people, a lot of people might have had five or six jobs and then they get to their new job and it's with a different super scheme and they have not really across their last one. So they end up with five super schemes.
Yeah.
And so basically that thing I was talking about before where your money compounds, where that comes into its value is if you have all of that money
together because
you want a big pool of money. So if you have lots of little pools of money, you don't get the same compounding effect. So that, costs people later on.
Here's the one that annoys me, and I don't know if you cover this or not, but you hear this story every so often. The businessman who goes out, or the small business operator goes out, and he hasn't paid his super and he hasn't done it, and all those people
who hadn't paid to his staff.
He's literally stolen their money and they end up with no super at the end. How can we deal with that?
Well, that's where, you know, you see people get criminally charged and whatnot, and then if their assets get seized, they can try to get people their entitlements. But often what happens is you get stiffed and you do get left without your entitlements in that sort of scenario. The other one that makes my blood boil is fees that get put on people.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
you don't look at your account carefully, you know, you're getting charged $3,000 fees, and the Banking Royal Commission recently exposed that. Yeah. So even though it is sort of a bit boring and hard to understand, it really is something that you should
I'm incredibly
have
interested all of a sudden, though.
And they, should, and they should take more risks, super funds. I think they should try, try some really, really dodgy investments.
Go well.
Get into some dodgy investments.
Hey, there's another topic we wanted to talk about, and this is Bluey, which is an animated TV show. It's Australian show. It's become a national sensation.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. So it's an animated kids cartoon that gets done out of Brisbane. It's on the ABC. It started, it first went to air in only October last year, and since then it's had 23 million downloads.
Oh, you're joking.
It's the most downloaded ABC show in history.
So it's about a family of blue heeler dogs, which has got great, two working dog parents.
It is. And people just love it because it's sort of just, it's quite sweet, and it's just often, you know, the parents playing with the kids or whatever. But just the, if you have kids, the sort of behaviour and the things that the parents do and the way the kids interact with the parents, it's very, very recognisable. And so, yeah, it's just a really sweet little story. And I grew up in Brisbane. And so you can see in the cartoon, like you can tell that it is Brisbane. Like they'll have things like jacaranda blossoms on the ground. You think, oh God, it's Brisbane.
Well, good for these people because it's also very hard. Having gone through animation, it's very hard to get up and it takes a long time. So good for them.
Very good.
Yeah, it's great.
Ida swung by yet and said good day.
She has swung by, but I wasn't in the office at the time. So
have you got a managing director yet?
No, we do not. So I'm just running amok.
Really?
I'm here to talk to you guys.
You're up for the job. Maybe you could do both. Why don't we put your name up?
Good luck.
It'll be a Cromwellian regime under Buttrose.
One of the hardest jobs in the country.
Yes, I believe it is.
Hey, good to talk to you, Lee. It's been too long.
Yeah, you too.
Great to catch up. Good luck. And we might give you a call later on, or if this idiot ever releases a date for this election.
And also Lee's book, Any Ordinary Day, that's just gone.
Yes, well done.
Gangbusters all around. Go and get your hands on that. It's an amazing book.
And the podcast. Which is fantastic, with
Annabelle, the cheeky Annabelle Crab.
Yes.
Chat 10.
Are you guys expecting a kickback from me for all these mentions?
Well, there'll be something down
the pond. Of
course not.
Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
How are you going today, Jane?
I'm still not great. I'm recovering from a terrible thing that happened. It's not just me. It involves someone else.
You caused a sensation on this program yesterday when you dropped a bomb and you told us about what happened to you in the handicapped
on Friday.
Toilet on Friday.
And before everybody yells at me, there was no one in the building. I had to use the handicapped toilet because I was on air and I had to hurry and use it.
Can we all calm the farm about this? It's okay to use a handicapped toilet. It's just if there's a handicapped person there, they have right away.
And I checked and there was no one in the building who needed it.
It doesn't mean you don't use a handicapped
toilet. But it's also a shower room as well. There's a shower room as well. Change room.
Why are we apologising?
I've got to calm the farm for a lot of people who are getting stuck into me for using a disabled toilet. I'm being serious.
For any of those people, it's okay to use it.
Yes.
It just means handicapped people have a right of way with that toilet. But if it's sitting there unused, we don't. People are crazy. All right, there you go.
Trust me.
Listen, you were involved in it. We had a bit of an issue. Can we play back what went down on the show yesterday? Here we go.
I went to the toilet on Friday half naked because I was going to change. So I was in my bra. My pants were down around my ankles. And the door burst open and...
it's like the start of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, a very striking South Sudanese security guard, Paris, walked in on me. Shut the door, dude.
Nothing he saw in his homeland was as terrifying.
Okay, Ferris is not here today.
No, he's on sick leave.
He's on stress leave, I think. And in fact, I've had people from the office, I've had our office manager, Fee Curran, actually text me and she said, I think we'll need to get some therapy for Ferris. I'm seeing people who have never spoken to me in their lives in this building are just looking at me and they're holding their hands to their face and going, oh, Jane.
We need to point out, too, the toilet where you were sitting was miles away from the door. You can see it on our Instagram, Kennedy Malloy.
So I couldn't shut it.
You couldn't shut it, and the door wouldn't shut.
It's my fault. I didn't lock it
properly.
You were
exposed.
I didn't lock the door properly. I was distracted, clearly. And the worst part also, which I hate, and I admitted, because I'm a good person to admit this, I was holding a phone in my hands, which I think is disgusting when you go to the toilet. But I was trying to get an Uber to go somewhere and I was wanting to see how long it would take. So, I was multitasking.
So you're half naked, you're having a whiz, and you're on the phone.
Yeah, hideous.
And the door was wide open.
Yeah.
So you've all had your little comments. I don't think we've ever had as much feedback.
Hey, Jane, people have basically been on your side. People have been genuinely sympathetic and kind of rushing
all right.
Zero.
Well, Miss Sheridan at the movie says, and our security guard's name's Farris, Triple M T-shirts made, please get them made up. Save Farris.
That.
Farris may never work here again.
I don't think. He was very shaken. He was very shaken Afga one. Sorry, these are strange names, but I'm saying Afga bro one. I was driving home listening to the show. Thanks so much to help me tinkle in my pants. Oh. I laugh so hard. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry I made you have a whiz in your pants, but you know,
you
that wasn't
done
my
that,
intention.
We could have avoided the whole scenario.
Correct. They're saying the security guard will be scarred for life, says Kez Troppo.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
cool.
Kev Long says, well, this is not going to happen, Kev. I think a proper reenactment is in order.
You know what?
Not a bad idea,
no.
is it?
No.
Just
no, it's
dramatic
who's
scene
thinking
with music,
of me and the trauma?
With the psycho music and the door opens.
And I kept saying the worst thing is I was so far away, I couldn't close the very slow closing door. And there's a mirror right in front of me and I'm sitting, I go, this is what I looked like. Kill me now.
Look at
so bad. But you know, I could have zipped it. I could have said nothing to all of you,
but I decided
to take it on the chin.
You need to get back on the pony. This is what you do when you, otherwise you'll never use that toilet again. I can't think of anything
more embarrassing now. What else is there to do? Nothing much. I don't care. Oh. I'll fall down in public out street, you know, a la Andrea O'Keefe style. I'm happy to do that.
Oh, she's saying haymakers. Anyway, I think it's been a learning experience
for everyone
here.
Thank you for your support, everyone.
There's a vigil going on there right now. People are sitting around.
I hope Farris is back to work tomorrow.
Toilet with candles.
Oh, my God.
It's an exorcist, it's been called.
We were just getting so close. We used to chat to each other in the elevator about our lives. And
you had one job. We'll talk about that next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
You had one job.
And you pinheads screwed it up!
Just before we do that, Peter's on the line. Peter.
Good afternoon, all.
You've got something you'd like to contribute?
Mate, I think that gentleman had the idea of doing this a reenactment is fantastic, but I think you should take it one step further, and I think it should be your next billboard.
Peter.
Jane on the toilet.
Oh, come on, Jane. There'd be nothing like coming into that fine city of Melbourne, Tullamarine Airport from Sydney, and seeing you two guys
sitting on the dunny.
What about you on the dunny?
Oh, you springing me.
No, and me chopping through the door like in The Shining.
Shining, yeah.
Oh. While you're on the toilet, trying to get you out.
How am I going to get over this, Peter? If you keep bringing up great ideas like that, we better give you a prize.
Give Peter a prize.
Prize pack coming your way, Peter. Thank you, mate.
And by the way, you too. What? One of the most inane conversations I've ever been involved with during the break.
Don't you even. Come on.
You're trying to say Neil Young is not a good singer.
It started with me saying Lou Reed.
Yep.
Has got a voice. He's bold to talky sing.
Yeah.
It's
a
very gutsy move.
And I said he hasn't got a great voice.
No, he hasn't.
Not a great singing voice. That morphed into Neil Young.
Dave said Neil Young.
And you agreed with it.
I love Neil Young too.
How many albums has Neil Young sung? What was your band called?
Highly Strung. We sang Neil Young. That's all we sang.
Oh, well, better than Neil Young, I'm guessing. Because
I wrote
Neil Young,
on my jeans, Neil Young is
because
God.
Neil Young couldn't sing.
He hasn't
can
got.
Can you give me some Dentist Jane, please?
Okay, I'll go for it.
Well, that's great, but also the backup singers are very good too.
He's telling a story.
Backup singers.
Have you heard the one about his dog King? You tell me he can't sing.
Listen. You're being very immature now because you're not understanding what we're talking about, and you're not very musical.
This is Papa singing.
I look in the mirror and what do
we can
I
learn,
see?
Neil Young? It's all about pronunciation. So
I'm going to tell you that my voice is more musical than Neil Young's voice.
don't know whether the lyrics are quite as powerful.
I'm not talking about the lyrics. I love Neil Young.
I do too.
Neil Young is a powerful storyteller with a wonderful voice, which communicates a song. Well, what? Because he couldn't win The Voice, where he doesn't do his old.
But that's what we're talking about.
Shrilly la la's.
But we're talking about lead singers. Like, we're talking about Led Zeppelin. We're talking about Jimmy. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're talking about people
so,
who.
So someone else should still sing Neil Young songs.
No. It keeps me searching for a
heart of gold. It's fine by me.
And I'm getting old.
Oh, how dare you?
Don't you bring Cowboy in now. Keeps me searching for a heart of gold.
You used to play Neil Young songs, didn't you?
Of course we did.
Yeah.
Oh, better than him, apparently.
Yeah. Jeez, I used to do Comes a Time.
Who else was a shit-ass singer?
Bob Frank Dylan.
Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra
was a great singer.
Oh, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan's a shit singer.
That's true, though.
He is.
Bob Dylan. His lyrics are, you know, they're prolific.
The two of you are high.
Please separate.
I've got a drug test.
Separate the songs from the singer. Okay. I'm talking about people with great voices. And if you
don't understand
music like I do, then you have no right.
Bob Dylan.
Is that terrible?
He's a terrible singer.
Great singing.
Who would you rather sing one of his songs?
Christopher Cross.
Yeah, maybe the Backstreet Boys.
Takes me away to where I'm going.
I don't even know if we're going to bother now, are we? Oh, Jesus.
Thanks.
Here comes the cowbell.
I'll go a third above.
Okay.
Mickey. If you can go between the moon and New York
City, the best that you can do. All right, we better come back for another break. This is all your fault.
It's your fault.
This is Kennedy
Malloy.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy. Just got a tweet from Adrian O'Brien at Kennedy Malloy. Hey, you had one job to run the segment that you had.
No, it's not happening. Sorry, guys. You chucked it out the window.
Because you two decided to go some of the greatest singers in the history of the world. Anyone who's tuning in now, these two boffins got together and decided that who was a shit-ass singer?
Well, first of all, I said that Lou Reed is not a great singer.
Wow.
And I think that was fair enough. Dave then pipes up and says Neil Young wasn't a great...
Velvet Underground, wasn't he? Yeah, that's interesting because I think they shifted a few units back in the day.
No, you are so annoying because you keep going off track.
You're misunderstanding
the point.
Mick doesn't understand music, Dave, so you and I will just have this conversation together.
Yeah, who else did then you laid into?
Who else did I lay into?
Neil Young.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Young. How dare you?
As a singer.
Who else would sing his songs better? I beg your pardon. Are you pulling the piss now?
Is that your parody of Neil Young?
I tell you what, anyone.
I love Neil Young.
Go and get live at Massey Hall out, and
you tell me you can't sing.
I'll go home and tune your stupid guitar and see if you can sing along.
What's my guitar ever done to you?
Well, nothing.
Hey, Tom.
And what else?
We've got someone on the line.
You went somewhere else. Who else did you go?
You went to Bob Dylan as well.
Bob Dylan. What's wrong with that?
I mean, come on.
Who would you like to hear sing his song?
Christopher Cross. Or Buzz Skaggs. Now, they're good singers.
Neil Young.
That is great singing.
Yeah, but that's Nicolette Larson singing with him.
What do you want him to do? Sing like he's trying to get on The Voice. No, he's trying to win The Voice.
I'm just saying that his...
Is that what you want? You're so vanilla.
I'm saying the long
term. Oh, what's your idea of a good singer, Dave?
I mean, she's got some pipes.
I warned you. Give me some warning before you bring that in again.
Wooshka.
That is terrible. What do you got?
I wanted to say, Tom is on the line. What did you want to say, Tom?
Oh, sorry, guys. Don't, Dave.
What?
I'm 100% with Mick on this one.
Yeah, but you don't know what you're talking about either.
Don't talk to our listeners like that.
Hey, Tom.
What is wrong with you today?
I told you that I really like Neil Young.
Me too.
I'm not a huge Dylan fan.
Well, that's patronising.
I'm allowed to say he's not a brilliant singer.
But the lyrics and the words are amazing.
They changed my life.
It's and a prolific. Chore. It's a chore to listen to.
He changed my life as a teenager. Yeah,
not a chore at all.
Hey, Mark, how are you going?
Meatloaf. He was a great singer in the day, but when you heard him at the AFL Grand Final,
let's just have a little listen. This is his old stuff.
Highest selling album in Australian history, I think.
It's
pretty much it. And you can see why.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you're going to say he's a shit ass singer, too, right? Eh?
Well, yeah, I'm going to say he's a shit ass singer because listen to it at the AFL Grand Final.
Look, he hasn't kicked on.
I got one for you. I mean, Bette Midler is an amazing singer.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got one of the most beautiful, moving voices.
It's a bit by the book. Did you ever know? Oh, here we go. That you're my hero. That's how you do it. Dave!
I don't know why it keeps popping up. I don't know why.
All right. Get me out of here.
Okay. Well, we are done here, but wait, we appreciate your calls.
Dennis James. Should we have some more Dennis James?
Oh, we'll find some of that. We'll get more Dennis James.
Dennis James.
That's what it's all
about.
Now
she's got pipes.
Yeah. Dennis Jane was singing Neil Young. Now, you'd listen, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Comes a time. That'd sound great.
When she gets going.
Really?
Hey, you sound good in the bathroom. Do you want to go back? Can we go sit at the top? Love to hear you sing.
Go away.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Shame it ended on a sour note. sour note, I mean
you're
singing.
You're a bit bickering. You're in a mood today.
No, I'm not in a mood. I'm just.
You just want to have a little bit of argy-bargy. No. You're not on the same level as Dave and I are in music.
Okay.
And, you didn't understand. We were saying that there are singer-songwriters and there are songwriters who are great and there are singers that are not necessarily great singers. And you
doesn't mean you don't like them, though. I still love Neil. I love Bob Dylan.
He's just
so good. Prolific.
What is it you like?
The words to his songs.
Yeah.
I'm a bit over
them.
But you...
Let's go to Joel. Joel, I want to hear Joel before we go. How are you going, Joel?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Mick, you're absolutely wrong here, mate.
Oh.
The other guys are correct. You can be a great songwriter, but a crap singer.
You've got to understand that, Mick.
Yeah.
So who would you rather have singing Neil Young songs? Who would do a better job than Neil Young?
We like Neil Young singing them.
Happy with it.
We don't want anyone else to sing them. We're just saying.
You're happy with the song, but you're not saying he's the greatest singer.
That's right. Celine Dion should be singing. No, is what you're saying. She should be. Hey, David!
Sorry, you mentioned Celine.
That's the last time.
John Farnham's a great singer, and Celine can sing John Farnham songs too.
She can too.
John Farnham's an awesome singer.
He's a big baritone.
Don't do the big stuff.
Is he a big singer? Would you like John Farnham to sing?
John Farnham can sing anything he likes, as far as I'm concerned. He's brilliant.
He's a national treasure.
He is a national treasure.
Let's not go overboard.
Neil Finn, he's a brilliant singer. I'm just talking about good singers. You don't understand.
Neil Finn, brilliant.
I've always loved Neil Finn.
Yeah, I would have
That's why he's the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac now. Oh, again, you won't understand this stuff. It's a bit above your head.
Okay, I'm going to move on now because I'm just getting angry. I don't think you really.
Really?
You're out of your depth. Hey, Steve, what do you want to add to this sad end to an otherwise great show?
I'm straight through to the studio. I thought I got switched through to HR. I was actually after a security job if there was...
No!
You big joker.
Are you blind in both eyes?
Because you'd be Steve. Perfect.
You've seen what I've seen, Steve.
Stop it.
Terrible.
I'll never get over it. I'm scarred for life. Thanks, Steve, for that. Hey, tomorrow it's a big day here on Kennedy Malloy. A really old friend of ours. I haven't seen for ages. Ben Elton is going to come and sit on this show with us tomorrow, which is
Ben
great.
Elton.
And he's got a new book out.
He's
it's awesome. Really intriguing, and I'm wondering. I'm going to
everything
ask
he does
him.
Is good. I've seen him do stand-up. I still the Young Ones to me. I remember the first time I ever saw the Young Ones, I just went home and I watched every episode.
What about his stage shows as well? The Queen.
Stage shows are awesome. Yes. He's got the Midas touch.
He's very clever.
He's a bloody,
so we can't
bloody
wait to
funny
speak with him tomorrow. That'll be great.
And
I've just got a poll happening online. Settle an argument in studio. It says, is Bob Dylan a good singer? 92% say no.
So isn't this a sad day for Triple M, which is an otherwise proud rock station?
Again, stop being mischievous and turning it around.
And Johnny Come Lately Bozos have decided to toss out the question.
No. Take that back.
Is Bob Dylan a musical hack?
He is.
Listen, you are scurrilous.
Yeah. And you, that somehow.
You know exactly you what you're doing.
You're twisting this out of control.
You are. Have your cowbell. See?
All right. Well, so Ben Elton tomorrow. That'll be a big Wednesday show ahead of you. Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're caught up. Pull up your diary. You don't want to miss Milwaukee Redemption Day. April 11 only. T's and C's apply. Details at milwaukeetools.com.au.